Once again, I want to thank Phil for filling in for me while I was out. I appreciate all the prayers and the cards that were sent while I was out sick. It's great to be back and feel much better than I did last Sunday. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype, which also saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." What a wonderful passage of scripture that brings out an Old Testament character like Noah. We find it starting in chapter 6 of Genesis, and we find that Noah was a man of faith. As a matter of fact, in verse 9 there, we find that Moses said Noah walked with God. And then we also find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, in contrast to the wickedness that was in the world. As a matter of fact, in verse 11, he says, "The earth was so corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." And we find that the scripture teaches us that Noah was not saved by water only, but in verse 8 says by God, and Peter says in verse 20 by water, and the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11:7 by faith, which we just started on that part of our Sunday morning Bible class in the adult Bible class, so we'll get more involved in that next week. But one of the most shocking lessons of the story about Noah and the ark is the fact that we learn that Noah and his family is that only few, that is eight souls, were saved out of a very populated world. As a matter of fact, in verse 23 of chapter 7, it says, "So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So we see that in all of the people that existed on the earth, only a few were saved. Only a few. Noah prepared the ark. And we go back and we look beginning in verse 7. "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So we see also in verses 13 and 14, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch." We move down to verse 7 as Noah did exactly as God told him to do of chapter 7. "And Noah who had his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went in the ark because of the waters of the flood. God, because he is God, has the right to decide when to make his grace available to sinners. God's grace instructed Noah. God's grace instructs us today. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and verse 12. Building the ark was Noah's expression of faith. The Hebrew writer says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So Noah, the whole time that they were building the ark, the whole time that they were making ready for that time that God was going to flood the world with rain that these people have never seen before. Can you imagine Noah going out and preaching that God is going to destroy the whole earth with water? Well, these people have never seen that much water before. Imagine how they must have felt. Well, this old man doesn't know what he's talking about. You see, that's the way human beings think. And certainly the world was full of wickedness. But to be saved by water that ate souls from a wicked world and brought them to a clean world in the manner of baptism. Just as it is for us today. The gospel of Christ is a great expression of God's grace. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. A familiar passage should be to all of us. And verses 16 and 17, where Paul makes this statement. He says he's ready to preach the gospel of Christ to those who are in Rome. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone, or for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just live by faith. Saved by grace through faith. Paul, in his letter to the elders at Ephesus, wrote, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. So as we look at point 2 in our outline, Noah continues to preach the gospel. He continues to preach the word, rather, during this time about the flood that's going to happen. As a matter of fact, Peter said it did not spare the ancient world and saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. You know, when he said he was preaching those things that had not seen. And that's exactly what the definition of faith is, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Preaching godliness, preaching the importance of obedience, preaching that they're going to be saved if only they would obey God, to a world of people that are on wicked or thinking wicked all the time. Preaching calls for us to have faith in an unseen hope. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 now, if you would, and notice what the writer writes for Paul here as he tells him what to write. Beginning in verse 1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And he goes on to say, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What a wonderful point that is brought out by the writer here, of how important it is to recognize that this hope that we have is something we can't see. It's something that we haven't seen. Why would you hope for something you could see? You already have it. Oh. But you know, the disappointing part of it is that some people are not eagerly waiting for that time. And the writer here goes on in chapter 8 of the book of Romans and says, beginning here in verse 22, he says here, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even when we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is not seen, why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So important, the writer brings out here, how important it is that we continue to work, we continue to have this hope, and every day that we're alive on the face of this earth is a day that we can take and tell somebody else about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have. Oh, the Hebrew writer says that hope that we have is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. So we go back to Noah, and we take a look here. Noah believed what God said. Noah believed it to the point that he went out and started building this ark and started preaching to people. For 120 years he preached to people. Now you would think, after preaching that long about what was going to happen, more than 8 souls would have been saved. You would think. It is one thing to say that we believe God's word. It is entirely something else to allow God's word to completely change our lives. And that's what Paul spoke to the young evangelist Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning here in verse 12. He said, I thank God, or I thank Jesus Christ, rather, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although, he said, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I want us to think about something just for a moment, if we would. Paul considers himself to be the chief of sinners, having people persecuted and even some put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You must understand that God is willing to forgive man all sins. He's willing to wipe those sins completely away. But we must be obedient to His will. Why is it, I wonder, why there are so many people who take and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are buried in that watery grave of baptism, their sins are washed away, and then you don't see them anymore. Because they think that baptism, that baptism has saved them, and they don't think they have to do anything else to be saved. They think they've done what's required of them, and that God's going to save them. That's absolutely not true. And anyone who believes that is going to find out on the judgment day that is not true at all. When Noah patiently waited for God, he continued to work. He continued to make ready for that day when that flood would come. Noah worked while he waited. We go back here in our text in chapter 6 of Genesis, and we look here at verse 3. When the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, and he indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. In 120 years, you all are going to die. Okay, now if you get an announcement that you're going to die on a certain day, are you going to make some changes in your life? Well, I would think so. I would think, first of all, you find out all the people that you've treated bad and ask forgiveness. And most importantly, that you would ask forgiveness from God and that you would be obedient to His Son and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for that length of time that you have left, that you would be faithful all the way through it. Unfortunately, it seems as though there are those individuals who feel like once you've been baptized, you've been saved, and that's all you have to do. The people did not believe what Noah was preaching. When you go around and you tell people that the world is going to come to an end and it's going to be destroyed by fire, because God put the rainbow in the sky and promised it would never be destroyed by a flood again. And He made that covenant with man. And He said, from then on, it's going to be by fire next. And when you go to Peter's record and you look in 2 Peter chapter 3, and you begin reading here at verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And he goes on to say here, he says, and saying, where is the coming or the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Do you think maybe that there were some people during the days of Noah that felt that way about what Noah was saying? For this they willfully forget, that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Now think about it. Think about it. No one survived. No animal outside the ark survived. Only those that were in the ark. And you know, when I think about the story and I read the story over and over again, and I think about, I wonder how many people believed what Noah had to say after it started raining. I wonder how many people was wanting to be let into the ark at that point. But God gave them the opportunity. 120 years? That's a long time. And then I go on to read here in Peter's account. He says, but the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word. The very word that said this earth is going to be flooded by water is the same word that's going to say it's reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. Now you go out and you tell people that this earth is going to be destroyed by fire. And some people are going to laugh at you. Some people are going to think you're crazy. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. That with the Lord 1,000 days, 1 day and is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. You see, the problem with people today is they just don't believe that God would do that to them. And sometimes I wonder, have you not read your Bible? Have you not read the story about Noah and the ark? To think that God would not do that to you? But he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, when I look at that part of the passage of Scripture and I think, you know, in this day and time, you don't have to worry about the thief in the night because he comes in the day too. But the thing is, if you're not prepared, he's going to come in and rob you. I mean, that's just what he's going to do. So you generally try to make preparation. I've gone by several homes within the area here, and they've got the ADS and all these different security systems. Yeah, they're watching. The doorbells that take a picture of you when you're doing it, yeah. And so there's a lot of things out there they're preparing for. But the most important thing to be prepared for, they haven't even given a second thought. Christ coming. We don't know when it's going to be. Because it's going to happen as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. And so I talk to some people. When I talk to some people, they say, oh, that doesn't mean it's going to be burned up. No. No, that means it's going to be cleansed. No, he's already done a cleansing. He did that in Noah's day. No, it's going to be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Look what he's saying here. Look at the point that Peter is making here about the story of Noah, about what happened with Noah's day, about how the people didn't listen to Noah either, and about how so many people will not listen to what God has to say in his word today. And it makes us sad because, as I've mentioned before, there's nothing more than I want is that my whole entire family be saved. I want everybody to be saved. I want my next door neighbor to be saved. I want people who live across the street to be saved. I want the people in the grocery store to be saved. I want everybody saved. And that's exactly what God wants. God wants every single individual to be saved. But the problem is, not everybody wants to be saved on God's terms. They want to make their own terms. And if God would accept their own terms, I would like to suggest to you, he did not accept them in the days of Noah, nor will he accept them in our day too. You have to obey him. Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account the long-suffering of the Lord is our salvation. Look what he's saying here. Look at the point that he's making here. So why is it that people have come to the conclusion that once they've been baptized, there's nothing more that they need to do? That they've done everything that God has required. In Paul's letter that he writes to the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this one verse, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Wow. I mean, that's something that each and every brother and sister in Christ needs to be doing. They need to be telling others about this great day that's going to take place. Because for some, like it was in the days of Noah, it will not be a great day. It'll be the saddest day they've ever experienced. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always working. Noah, 120 years of preaching, working continually, building the ark to save him and his family, his whole household, and all the animals that God required to go into the ark. And this world completely flooded, and when the flood waters subsided, all these animals are new animals on the earth. The earth has been completely cleansed of everything. You don't think God will destroy the world by fire? Oh, he will. And we need to be ready for it. And we need to be working. We need to busy ourselves. As we've looked in our Bible class on Lord's Day morning here in the adult Bible class, as we've been looking on the zeal that we have to spread, that we have to use. And it's so important that we have that zeal. One must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John chapter 6 and verse 47. And in other passages as well. One must repent and turn their lives completely around. They can't just take and be baptized and think that they can go back and live their life the way they lived it prior to their obedience. They've got to change. They've got to be willing to commit to following Christ and doing the work of the Lord. One must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33. Paul said this in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. And like Peter said in verse 21 of our text in 1 Peter chapter 3, there is a like figure in which saves us today as did the 8 souls in the days of Noah. And that is baptism. You must be baptized in order to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you've got to remain faithful. You've got to continue to be faithful, just like John wrote to the church of what Jesus said to the church at Smyrna. He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So it's a work that we have to continue to do. We just can't just be baptized and stop. All baptism does is gets us started in the race. We've got to continue to do the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, or unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we do extend the invitation to you. And we can baptize you immediately. And you rise up to walk in newness of life. It's entirely your choice. But just remember that the Lord destroyed the world with water the first time, and this time he will destroy the world by fire. Everything will be dissolved. The stars, the moon, everything will be dissolved. So if we can help aid you in your obedience, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Thank you.